be now in the book of Esther. We're going, remember, going through the Old Testament and going through and using the Old Testament Hebrew order as we're going through the Old Testament. And the book after Lamentations is the book of Esther. And so we're in Esther, and Esther is found right before the book of Job, which is right before the book of Psalms. So right, if you're going backwards, Psalms, Job, Esther. And we're in Esther chapter 1. We're looking at the whole chapter, verses 1 through 22. Esther chapter 1, verse 1, these are God's words. Now it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus, this is Ahasuerus which reigned from India even unto Ethiopia over 127 provinces, that in those days when the king Ahasuerus sat on the throne of his kingdom, which was in Shushan, the palace, in the third year of his reign he made a feast unto all his princes and his servants, the power of Persia and Media. Medea, the nobles and princes of the provinces being before him. When he showed the riches of his glorious kingdom and the honor of his excellent majesty many days, even 180 days. And when these days were expired, the king made a feast unto all the people that were present in Shushan the palace, both unto great and small, 7 days in the court of the garden of the king's palace, where were white, green, and blue hangings fastened with cords of fine linen and purple, to silver rings and pillars of marble. The beds were of gold and silver upon a pavement of red and blue and white and black marble. And they gave them drink in vessels of gold, the vessels being diverse one from another, and royal wine in abundance according to the state of the king. And the drinking was according to the law. None did compel, for so the king had appointed to all the officers of his house that they should do according to every man's pleasure. Also Vashti the queen made a feast for the women in the royal house which belonged to King Ahasuerus. On the 7th day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded Mahuman, Bistha, Harbona, Bigtha, and Abagtha, Zethar, and Carcass, the 7 chamberlains that served in the presence of Ahasuerus the king, to bring Vashti the queen before the king with the crown royal, to show the people and the princes her beauty, for she was fair to look on. But the queen Vashti refused to come at the king's commandment by his chamberlains. Therefore was the king very wroth, and his anger burned in him. And the king said to the wise men, which knew the times, for so was the king's manner toward all that knew law and judgment. And the next unto him was Karshena, Shethar, Admatha, Tarshish, Meres, Marsena, and Memucan, the 7 princes of Persia and Media, which saw the king's face, and which sat the first in the kingdom. What shall we do unto the queen Vashti according to law, because she hath not performed the commandment of the king Ahasuerus by the chamberlains? And Memucan answered before the king and the princes, Vashti the queen hath not done wrong to the king only, but also to all the princes and to all the people that are in all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus. For this deed of the queen shall come abroad unto all women, so that they shall despise their husbands in their eyes when it shall be reported. The king Ahasuerus commanded Vashti the queen to be brought in before him, but she came not. Likewise shall the ladies of Persia Medea say this day unto all the king's princes, which have heard of the deed of the queen. Thus shall there arise too much contempt and wrath. If it please the king, let there go a royal commandment from him, and let it be written among the laws of the Persians and the Medes, that it be not altered, that Vashti come no more before King Ahasuerus, and let the king give her royal estate unto another that is better than she. And when the king's decree which he shall make shall be published throughout all his empire, for it is great, all the wives shall give to their husbands honor, both to great and small. And the saying pleased the king and the princes, And the king did according to the word of Memucan. For he sent letters into all the king's provinces, and into every province according to the writing thereof, and to every people after their language, that every man should bear rule in his own house, and that it should be published according to the language of every people. Those are God's words. Friends, this book of Esther is the only book in all of Scripture that does not mention God. The context of this book is the end of the Babylonian exile. The Medes and the Persians have defeated the Babylonians, and so the Babylonians are all gone. They're now the Medes and Persians rule. And there are some Jews who have returned to the land of Israel. That's where you would get the books of Ezra and Nehemiah, which we'll go to next. But some have not gone back to Israel because they're here under the king Ahasuerus. And this book, therefore, speaks of those who have not gone back to Israel. And here we see the consequences of the exile still. Life without God, that is His presence. They didn't have the temple. If we go to Ezra and Nehemiah, they're rebuilding the temple. But they did not have the presence of God in that way on the earth, known or knowing that He was there, present with them. And yet the Lord is seen throughout this book in His providence. God's covenant people are upheld in this book by Jehovah. And beginning here, the Lord's way of providence to bring about, even beginning here in chapter 1, bringing about a covenant child who is grown, a lady, a woman, a covenant woman, Esther, to be queen in Persia. And therefore, Jehovah working through her to deliver then God's people from a great persecution. And here through verse 9, you see the king Ahasuerus in the height of his great feast. Or we might even say feasts, multiple of them. And then to the end of the chapter, how he wanted to show forth the beauty of his wife, the queen, to the people at his feast, whose name is Vashti. But due to her refusing to come and obey the king's commandment, she was put out and divorced so that the king could marry another, which gives place to Esther to come and of the Jews to be saved. And so here's one thing we can learn, is that even the pagans see, here we see it in the first chapter, they even see the relationships of our marriages are seen by others. Sometimes we don't really think about that, but they're seen by others. And so you are Christians, instead of showing forth division, you are to show forth exactly what Christ called you to show forth in your marriages, Christ and the church. Your marriages should be a visible declaration that Christ is husband of the church, his bride, and show forth that love in that relationship. But here, by the providence of God as well, chapter 1, this sets up the bringing about of Esther, of the covenant people of God, to save the covenant people of God, and that she would be queen. Let's pray. Our Father, thank You for Your word. We're thankful that You are a gracious and merciful God, a God of providence. And we're thankful that You are present amongst us, that we know that You have given us of Your Holy Spirit. And as we have gathered together, we pray that You would pour out Your Holy Spirit in great power, more so than when we are merely by ourselves. And even in great power in comparison to how You pour out Your Spirit generally. We plead for that, Father, if it would be Your will, that You would send revival and reformation amongst us and amongst the church in our nation. We pray that Your church would be sanctified. Even that visible portion of Your church which has so degenerated and gone into great evils, and even preaches no more the gospel of Jesus Christ. We pray that You would turn those churches and Your bride, which is part of the church, to You. Your covenant people who have broken covenant with You, even of our children, we pray that You would bring them and turn them back to Christ, Your Son. And pray that there would be none here who have none here who continue breaking covenant with you, but rather believe and turn from their sins unto Christ, the Lord and Savior. Father, we're thankful for your word here. We're thankful that you are the God of providence, that you're the God who saves us and delivers us from many trials and persecutions and sufferings through various means, ultimately through Christ your Son. And we're thankful that for those who have turned to Him, that you have not cast them out. We pray that you would bring many more into your kingdom. As we study your kingdom this morning, we pray that you would grant to us a greater understanding, but also a desire, as we'll hear, to take the kingdom by force. That each one of us would. That your kingdom would suffer violence. And we're thankful that we'll learn more about that this morning. Now, Father, we do ask as well that you would watch over your people. That you would cause those who are downcast, who are at the end of themselves, that you would grant them no other hope but turning to you. In this way, we're thankful for John Gordetsky. We're thankful for Elias and Silas. And Father, we're thankful that in the moments in the past weeks that you have tried your people. We're thankful that you have used our children to do so. And Father, that to strengthen our faith and to turn from our sin to you. Father, we're thankful that John is doing better and that he's healing. Hopefully, maybe even this week, they'd be able to go home. Thankful that Phil is here with us and that Mark as well, that he was taken care of by the April and Aaron Watson for a time this week and back with the mains. I pray that you would help him and continue to help him. We're thankful that he's been sleeping pretty good and behaving well, generally speaking. And we're thankful that Phil is here as well. I pray that you would uplift him and encourage him in Christ today. Father, we're thankful as well for Elias and Silas that we prayed for. They had recently had seizures because of their sicknesses. And know that is very scary for parents. Similar anxiety and fear that Phil and Julie surely went through and have been going through. And Father, we're thankful that you use our children in these various ways to show that we're not in control. That you are the God of all sovereign providence and authority. That we cannot fully keep and surround our children perfectly, but you do. And so we pray that you would teach us, continue to teach us your ways, that you are in control, that you truly protect them, and that you are the God who heals them. And we're thankful that each of these children are healing and that you're healing them. And so we pray that you would, for especially these parents, but especially all of us as we have time to consider what you're doing amongst your people. Father, we pray that you would strengthen in faith these parents and all of us. That we would trust in you and not so much our own strength and wisdom, but trust you alone. Father, heal your people. Father, we pray that you would heal these children, but all those who may not be feeling well today. We're thankful that Larry is here amongst us again. And he's feeling better. And thankful that I am feeling better as well. And Father, we ask that you would grant wisdom to each one of us. Comfort us in Christ your Son. And you would protect the church from outside attacks and persecutions that will come at various times. Protect us and help us to trust you for our protections, not we ourselves. Though, Father, you have given us wisdom to be prepared for these things. We're thankful, even as we've been taught in Matthew's gospel, you've taught us these things, how to be prepared. How to be prepared in our hearts and mentally, and even prepare physically by giving us the scriptures. And so we pray that you would protect us, your people. Father, provide for us your word. Provide for us elders and deacons, new elders and deacons. Provide for us financially. And Father, we're thankful, again, as we look at the giving thus far this year, we're thankful that there's more giving this year. And that we are currently above the budget that we agreed upon. Father, in the grand scheme of things, we don't really care about the budget. We don't really care about those things, but we do care that you provide for your people, that you continue to provide worship for us. And Father, we pray that you would bring that about and make us to be good stewards of all that you've given to us for the sake of worshiping you and for the sake of the Great Commission, that the gospel would go forth. And so we pray that you would raise up everything needed that we'd be able to plant churches in the future. And we pray that your kingdom would grow and your name would be praised. The gospel would be proclaimed in many more places and throughout the world and all the nations. That all the nations would turn unto you. That the fullness of the Gentiles would come in. And the Jews would be provoked to jealousy. And they would turn to Christ in faith. And bring in even a greater number of Gentiles after that, as we've studied in your word. And so we pray that you would bring it about. And we pray that in faith, knowing you will, because that's what you've promised to do. Father, we're thankful as well for today and the privilege to worship you. We pray that you would grant us great joy, even though we might be struggling with sin, struggling with current circumstances, and that we've been hurt by others perhaps or sinned against. Father, help us to worship you with great joy and thanksgiving, because you deserve all of our praise. And you have done great things for us, your people. And so, Father, help us to praise your name forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.